Correction, July 2026. Two claims in this post have been repaired. The four stylometric figures quoted below were the academic subcorpus means, presented as though they described the full 146-sample cross-genre corpus. The whole corpus figures now stand in their place, with the academic numbers kept and labeled. And the review system described here as three personas has since grown to five. The pre-correction wording is preserved in this post's public version history. Literary criticism is the practice of evaluating texts according to aesthetic, structural, and cultural criteria that the critic brings from outside the text itself. Automated literary criticism, then, would be the delegation of that evaluative practice to algorithmic systems. The term is precise in its first half and aspirational in its second, because what these systems actually perform is pattern matching against a documented baseline, which is a useful and legitimate activity that falls short of criticism in any sense a humanist would recognize. This distinction matters because I built one of these systems, and it works. Three AI personas evaluated every post on the site against a quantitative voice guide, a count that has since grown to five. The system catches errors I miss. It enforces consistency I would otherwise lose. And it operates according to principles that, examined carefully, reveal more about the limitations of algorithmic evaluation than about the quality of the writing being evaluated. The stylometric foundation. Stylometry is the quantitative analysis of linguistic style through measurable features: word frequency, sentence length, syntactic structures, punctuation patterns, function word distribution. These features collectively form what researchers describe as a fingerprint of an author's style, one that operates largely below conscious control because writers attend to what they say, not to how often they use prepositions or how many dependent clauses they embed per sentence. Function words are particularly diagnostic because, as Stamatatos 2009 describes, they are used in a largely unconscious manner by the authors, and they are topic independent, which means an author's function word distribution stays relatively stable across different subjects and different years of writing. The voice guide for this site catalogs exactly these features. Based on automated analysis of 146 writing samples spanning a decade of my writing across academic, personal, creative, and philosophical work, the guide documents mean sentence length of 28.4 words against an AI baseline of 11.6, measured from drafts generated by Claude Opus for this site. Dependent clause ratio, 50.5%. First-person pronouns, 1.5 per 100 words. Parenthetical qualifications, 0.5 per 100 words. Those are the whole corpus figures, and it is worth separating them from the academic subcorpus, which runs tighter on every axis, 29.4 words per sentence, 53.1% dependent clauses, 0.36 first-person pronouns per 100 words. The register moves by genre, even though the fingerprint holds, which is a distinction the guide records and an earlier version of this post collapsed. Near zero M- usage across the corpus. A finding that surprised me, since I would have said I use them occasionally, which illustrates the gap between self-perception and measured behavior that makes stylometry valuable in the first place. The system works because stylometric features are precisely the kind of pattern that algorithms excel at tracking. When a draft shifts from declarative to pedagogical mode, the sentence structure changes in quantifiable ways. Hedging language increases, sentences shorten, first-person plural appears where second-person direct is the established pattern. The tone analyst catches this. A typical output looks like, this section uses we should consider six times. The voice guide shows first-person plural in 2% of sentences, always for inclusive framing. These instances are solo perspective, specific, measurable, correctable. What stylometry cannot do, and what no amount of computational sophistication will change, is evaluate whether the patterns it measures are worth preserving. The system enforces conformity to documented norms. Whether those norms produce writing that is insightful, original, or culturally significant is a question the system cannot ask, much less answer. three personas, one limitation. The multi-persona approach draws on analogous work in adjacent fields. The CINEMETRIC framework, developed for evaluating conversational agents, demonstrates that distinct character profiles produce diverse ratings and subjective commentary across evaluation dimensions, which is exactly what you want from a review system that might otherwise collapse into a single evaluative perspective. Research on agentic persona control in interactive simulation, specifically user modeling for restaurant ordering scenarios, shows that multi-agent systems decomposing tasks into specialized roles produce more realistic behavior than single model baselines, a principle that transfers to evaluation contexts even though the original domain is different. The PersonaGym framework proposes persona score as a quantitative metric for how well persona agents maintain their assigned perspectives across diverse environments, measuring persona adherence rather than evaluative quality directly, but establishing that persona consistency is achievable and measurable. My implementation used three personas when this was written. A technical reviewer and a fact checker were added later, and the argument below applies to all five. The tone analyst compares drafts to voice guide patterns, flagging deviations in sentence structure, vocabulary, and rhetorical framing. The editorial critic evaluates logical flow, evidence to claim ratio, and organizational coherence. The target reader simulates comprehension from the perspective of the intended audience, flagging sections that assume too much background knowledge or bury the thesis. Each persona catches errors the others miss. The tone analyst flagged a draft that used a joke about Skinner's pigeons wearing tiny lab coats in an otherwise serious discussion of behaviorism. The voice guide shows humor is rare and dry, never whimsical. The editorial critic caught a section that made the same argument three times in different contexts. Semantic interference causes extraction errors, coordination errors, refactoring errors, and flagged it for consolidation. The target reader flagged a post where the key insight was buried in the fourth section, noting that readers would likely stop before reaching it. The catches are real. The improvements are visible in my private revision history, though I have not run controlled before and after measurements. The limitation is structural. Multiple AI perspectives are not the same as genuine philosophical diversity. In the primary review mode, each persona is a different instruction set running on the same model, which means they share architectural priors, training biases, and failure modes. The system also uses multiple models for different evaluation passes: Claude for tonal sensitivity, GPT for structural analysis, which introduces some genuine architectural diversity, but even cross-model ensembles converge on deeper assumptions about what constitutes good writing. The personas disagree on surface features. Is this sentence too long? Is this section redundant? While sharing those deeper assumptions. The diversity is shallow in exactly the way that matters most for literary criticism, which depends on bringing genuinely different frameworks of value to the same text. Research confirms the uniformity observation from the opposite direction. Studies comparing AI-generated writing to human writing find that AI can generate polished, fluent prose, but its writing continues to follow a narrow and uniform pattern, while human authors display far greater stylistic range, shaped by personal voice, creative intent, and individual experience. O'Sullivan, 2025, Humanities and Social Sciences Communications. The implication that follows, though it is my argument rather than the paper's, is that the narrowness of AI's own stylistic range is not incidental to its capacity as a critic. A system that generates uniform prose may evaluate writing according to standards that favor uniformity, which means the system's strengths and its blind spots would share a common origin. The feedback loop problem. The uncomfortable implication of an effective automated review system is that it becomes part of the voice it evaluates. Every post written after implementing the system passes through the filter, which means future posts are implicitly optimized for the critic's evaluation criteria, which means the voice guide documents a historical pattern that the critics then enforce going forward. which means the voice stabilizes, variation decreases, and the writing becomes more consistent while potentially becoming more constrained. This is not a hypothetical concern. A growing pattern in AI development is ensemble validation, one AI checking another AI's work, which is then checked by a third, reflecting a deep uncertainty about algorithmic judgment that the ensemble approach manages without resolving. In practice, AI agents are rarely trusted to act without validation, and it is increasingly common for systems to include secondary models to review, validate, or constrain agent decisions before execution. The cascade of validation suggests that no single algorithmic perspective is trustworthy, but the conclusion drawn from this observation, add more algorithmic perspectives, may simply enlarge the circle of distrust without breaking it. The analogy to the broader AI alignment problem is direct. Reward models that judge AI behavior are themselves AI systems, trained on human feedback that is sparse, expensive, and potentially unrepresentative. If the reward model misunderstands human values, the aligned AI optimizes toward the misunderstanding. The more capable the AI, the better it exploits the gap between the reward model and the actual values the reward model was supposed to capture. In the writing review context, the gap is between conformity to documented stylometric patterns and good writing. These overlap substantially, but are not identical, and the system has no mechanism for detecting when they diverge, because the system defines quality as conformity. A post that deliberately violates the voice guide for rhetorical effect, a long, winding sentence to mirror conceptual complexity, a shift to first-person plural for genuine inclusion rather than habit, gets flagged with the same severity as an unintentional drift into pedagogical softness. Human override is required. The system cannot distinguish error from strategy. What criticism actually requires? The strongest objection to automated literary criticism comes not from its technical limitations, but from a conceptual analysis of what criticism involves. Research on AI in literary studies concludes that there remains a profound difference between human and LLM-composed literary criticism, even though the superficial similarities are striking, with AI systems failing to register the rhetorical context or undertake its characteristic social action. Sarah Banting, Simulated Social Action, Discourse and Writing/Redactology, January 6, 2026, DOI. 10.31468/DWR 1149. The phrasing is precise. Criticism is a social action, not an analytical procedure. It involves positioning oneself within a community of interpreters, making claims that respond to other claims, and bearing responsibility for the interpretive choices one makes. An AI system that flags tonal inconsistencies is performing analysis. An AI system that evaluates whether a piece of writing contributes something meaningful to an ongoing conversation about, say, the ethics of algorithmic judgment, is performing criticism. The first is tractable. The second requires situating the text within a web of cultural reference, intellectual tradition, and evaluative commitment that no current model possesses, because possessing it would require something like genuine participation in the culture being referenced, which is precisely what AI systems do not do. This is not a claim about consciousness or sentience. It is a claim about the social embeddedness of evaluative practice. When a human critic says something like this essay fails to engage with the counterargument, that judgment draws on the critic's own engagement with the counterargument, their assessment of its strength, their sense of the intellectual community's expectations. When an AI system flags counterargument not addressed, it has identified a structural gap without evaluating its significance. The gap between these two operations is the gap between pattern recognition and criticism. The pragmatic position. The system works, I use it, I will continue using it. Not because it performs literary criticism, but because it performs something more modest and more useful. It makes implicit patterns explicit. This doesn't sound like you is a common editorial observation and an almost entirely unhelpful one. The AI critics transform that observation into specific, measurable feedback. This section deviates from the documented voice on these axes by these amounts. The writer can then decide whether the deviation is error or intention. That decision remains human. The clarification is algorithmic. Stylometric analysis provides legitimate, quantifiable feedback on writing patterns. In my experience, multiple AI personas catch more issues than a single evaluative perspective, and ensemble approaches can exploit complementary tendencies across personas and models, even though the underlying limitation of shared assumptions about good writing remains. These are genuine technical achievements with practical value for anyone who writes and wants empirical feedback on whether their writing matches their intentions. The achievements do not constitute literary criticism. They constitute quality control, which is a different and less interesting activity that happens to be more immediately useful. The distinction is not pedantic. It determines what you trust the system to do. Quality control catches drift from a baseline. Criticism evaluates whether the baseline is worth maintaining. Conflating the two means trusting an algorithmic system to answer questions it cannot formulate, which is a failure mode that no amount of ensemble validation can address, because the limitation is not in the accuracy of the pattern matching, but in the scope of what patterns are being matched against. The automated critics are useful. They are not critics. And the gap between those two claims is where all the interesting questions about AI and evaluation reside, in a space that algorithmic systems illuminate by their presence at its border without being able to cross into it.